Welcome to About Greyhounds, the podcast about
Greyhounds.
I'm Jacqueline Howard.
And I'm Al Cavallo. Time travel music. When and where are we going now?
We're going to Pella in the ancient Greek kingdom of Macedonia. It's the mid-300s BCE, also known as Before Common Era.
That's quite a ways.
Sure. It's 356 BCE, and the man and woman you see are King Philip II of Macedon and Queen Olympia.
Who's that cute baby the queen is holding?
That is none other than baby Alexander.
Wait a second, do you mean that?
You guessed it, Al. That's none other than Alexander the Great.
So he's a prince.
Right. Prince Alexander. Al, here's a question for you. When we speak of the Greek kingdom of Macedonia, what is the area known as today?
Good question, and the answer could be a bit messy, so let's simplify it. The Republic of Macedonia has borders with Kosovo to the northwest, Serbia to the north, Bulgaria to the east, Greek to the south, and Albania to the west.
The reason we're traveling through time to the age of Alexander the Great, the prince had a...
greyhound.
Yes, a greyhound. Her name was Peritus. But here's a disclaimer. There is some controversy over what breed Peritus was. Some say greyhound, others say Molosser. But if you've never heard of a Molosser, there's a reason for that, and we'll get into that in a moment. We're of the belief that Peritus was a greyhound.
As we talk about Peritus and Alexander, realize that these stories are a little over 2,000 years old, so take some parts of this unproven history with a grain of salt.
There are two competing stories on the way Alexander and Peritus got together. One camp says that when Alexander was 11 years old, someone gave him a greyhound puppy named Peritus. The other camp says that he chose Peritus from a litter of greyhound puppies. Either way, Alexander raised his much-loved hound. By the way, the word Peritus in Macedonian translates to the word January. Here's some more background. Mind you, this is going to be a quick synopsis of some detailed history.
When Prince Alexander was 20 years old, his father was assassinated. This meant that Alexander moved up in rank to the position of king. He took charge of the army and set out to successfully reclaim real estate that had once lost to the kingdom and invaded some new areas. What Alexander set his sights on was Persia. He was attracted by its wealth, which he could use to pay for his growing army of tens of thousands of men.
To add some more perspective, the land that once made up Persia is today known as the country of Iran. Now, King Alexander's greyhound, Peritus, accompanied him on his travels and battles. It was common practice for war dogs to literally join in the fight.
We know the question you're asking yourself. A greyhound is a war dog? That's the way the story goes. At the time, an ancient breed of dog, now extinct, called the Molosser, was a favorite of the Greeks. They were huge, and the Molosser breeds that descend from them are the Mastiff, St. Bernard, and Great Dane, just to name a few. One quick side note, there are folks who have been working toward breeding a dog that closely resembles the ancient Molosser. Point is, when it comes to dogs of war, a greyhound is hardly the first breed that comes to mind. Still, all dogs held a place of honor in ancient Greek society, and Greek gods were often portrayed with greyhounds in art and literature. Greyhounds were revered, so it makes logical sense that the Greek king would have a greyhound that he loved. Back to our story.
Not only would dogs engage in battle, but so would elephants. These humongous animals were used to fill an enemy with fear and to hold a battle line. The first confrontation between King Alexander and his troops against an army with elephants was at the Battle of, I'm going to say this wrong, Gaugamela in 331 BCE. In that battle, the Persians came, in quotes, armed with 15 elephants. According to the blissfuldog.com, here's what happened.
The day before the battle, the Persians endured a long march into the battle line. That march included 15 elephants. As the Persians readied for battle against King Alexander and his army, the elephants were strategically placed in the center of the line. At first, Alexander and his army were terrified, until that is that they saw the elephants refuse to deploy. They were still exhausted from the previous day's march. The Greeks won the battle.
While the elephants didn't perform as the Persians had wanted, Alexander remained quite impressed by them. In fact, the elephants became spoils of war because Alexander added them to his army. As his army moved through Persia, they captured more elephants along the way, adding to the herd. Of course, the Persian war elephants wouldn't always show up to battle exhausted. One story tells us that at the last minute, Alexander's greyhound changed the course of history by saving the king's life. In one particular battle with the Persians, Alexander was cut off from his men. To his horror, a war elephant was charging right toward him. Peritas, in a blind fit of loyalty, leapt up at the elephant, biting at the giant animal's lip, tearing it. Stunned, the elephant turned and ran back in pain and fear.
Eventually, the Greeks were victorious and overthrew the Persian Empire, but Alexander didn't stop there. In 327, the king, now 29 years old, made his way to India.
There, Alexander was being attacked and valiantly fighting off the opposing army until more of his troops could arrive. In an effort to protect Alexander, Peritas was mortally wounded. The greyhound crawled to Alexander and died with her head in his lap. The king was devastated.
If the dates are to believe that this time, Peritas would have been 18 years old. Yeah, we noticed that too.
Alexander and his army pushed on with their invasion of India until, that is, they got to Hyphasis, which many scholars identify as today's Bays in India.
The weather was tropical and plagued with unrelenting rain. The king's army, it seems, had enough and would go no farther. A mutiny was afoot.
The king's choice was between pressing on alone or to turn back. He chose to turn back. While in India, King Alexander named a city after his greyhound. As legend tells us, he had a tomb built for her with a large monument erected on the site. The king held a large funeral procession for Peritas and ordered that the citizens of the city he named in her memory honor her with an annual festival. While much of the history was never written down or became lost, we do have the writings of a Greek biographer and essayist born about 300 years after Alexander's death. His name was Plutarch. Plutarch was born in 45 AD and died in the year 127. Plutarch wrote, "It is said, too, that when he lost a dog, also named Peritas, which had been reared by him and was loved by him, he founded a city and gave it the dog's name."
For the rest of his life, King Alexander and his armies conquered a breathtaking amount of territories. But Alexander's life was cut short when he died at age 32. How he died is, like so many other things about his life, up for debate. We do know that he died in Babylon in the year 323 BCE. The king developed a fever and was unable to walk or talk for 12 days before he died. Some scholars opine that it was disease, perhaps smallpox, typhoid, malaria, maybe even leukemia. Some say his body failed due to previous lung injury. Some say it was poison that did him in.
We do know for sure that within a year of his death, Alexander the Great's armies disassembled into warring factions. Then came the uprisings that started in the territories he conquered. All he had accomplished over his lifetime, his legacy crumbled. We also know that Alexander loved his greyhound, and more than 2,000 years after her tragic death, we're still in awe of her, much like Alexander the Great was. For the About Greyhounds podcast, this is Jacqueline Howard.
And I'm Al Caballo.
Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you on another episode. At Greyhound Friends of New Jersey, we're dedicated to helping more former racing greyhounds get to where they need to be next, homes of their own. If you've been enjoying this podcast series, please consider donating to help us help them. There's a link in the show notes that will take you to where you can donate.